This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I've just received
it. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Potluck Thanksgiving dinner party.
Why don't we do it on like a wild card Saturday?
No, no.
What do you mean no? Baby Rock goes in bed by 7.
Wild card weekend. Two older kids who are into sports and are fun. Miles going to be like, all right, guys, good night.
It's not going to happen. No, he'll go to bed. Ben and Alex are leaving. Milo, time for bed. Okay, he goes to bed.
You want to lie to Milo?
Oh, fudge the truth a little bit.
I will not be a part of that.
You'll do it.
No, I won't. I'm not a truth fudger.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Bye, Alex. Bye, Ben.
Hey.
Here's your jackets.
Cause the
start the car. Cause the-
on 98.7 ESPN.
I don't even know who you are anymore. Time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I wish that wasn't in the rejoin. I'd like to put that to rest and never have to hear anything like that again. You outright lie to your children? Where does it stop? You're really
going to
sit
fib.
Here in front of God and everybody? And just
God
lie.
And them boys. It's a little
and lie to your offspring. Oh, so
it's
disgusting.
A little white lie. Stop it.
You're telling people are leaving the house.
No, what do you tell the kids when you don't show up to the games on Sundays? That dad
I'm
still loves you.
I'm watching football.
No, stop, please.
What do you mean
dad
stop?
Still
I don't
you.
See that. It pains you that I tell the truth. I know it does. It pains you that I will not lie. I just tell the truth. See, you tiptoe around the truth. All right, they're leaving. Say goodbye, Milo. Say goodbye.
Well, maybe you'd be better off lying to the kids. Like, dad has to go work as opposed to dad's going to sit on the couch and watch football games.
No, I'm not going to lie. Why would
that
I lie?
That aren't the Giants. Hey, Dad, can you come to my championship game? No. There's a full slate of games on. Are the Giants playing? No, actually, they're on their bye.
They understand.
Okay, yeah, until they get to therapy later in life.
Therapy. God forbid that kid comes down for a glass of water, sees the party still rolling along.
Maybe we put you guys in the basement at that point for a little bit.
I mean, yeah, I'm not being forced into the basement because you're lying to your kids. I tell you what, I am not perpetuating your lie to your children.
Maybe we send Ben and Alex to Grandma's house.
What?
We'll sleep over at Grandma's house.
Why?
I don't know.
Why should they go to Grandma's house? Because you can't be honest with your children.
I'm looking out for Milo's best interest. He doesn't need to be up till 10 o'clock at night with a hockey game on Sunday morning.
What do we're going to have to discuss this. What do we do if Milo comes downstairs? Dad, I had a bad dream. Dad, why is everyone still here? Like, what does RJ do? What does Raymond do? What do the wives do? What do the kids? Like, what do we do if you're caught in this lie, which you know is going to blow up in your face?
If this was early December, I think we put RJ on a shelf or something and say, oh, look.
So I like what you did. It was funny, but you deflected. You're very good at that.
No, I think what we do is we have some candles ready. If he comes down, we pretend like it's a surprise. Hey, surprise!
Milo's here! Yay! And then he just starts clapping. Yes, I'm here!
Yes.
When's his birthday?
Actually, that's not a bad idea. His birthday is at the end of February.
There you go.
Oh, look at what has happened!
Milo, we were hoping you'd come down. Happy birthday, Milo!
It's not my birthday. Yeah, it is.
It is.
You slept for 3 weeks.
That's right. Happy birthday. Here's what we do. Why don't we have the event birthday weekend for Milo?
No, we can't because that's the end of that. I was looking at both of the schedules. We have to do it. There's that window. And if they go to the Olympics, there's that Olympic window where
Raymond will have some free time.
Smart. Yeah. Yep.
Very, very smart. All right, let's get back into the NFL. We'll get to the Knicks in a little bit, too. And I'm very upset about the Knicks. Like, truly very upset, very bothered, very concerned about where we are with the Knicks. But let's hear, because you know he's a wordsmith. And you know when he speaks, you have to listen. Here is, and you saw how happy he was in between wiping away snot from his brow and then kind of licking it up. Here is, did you see that yet last night, by the way?
Yeah, I think he wiped it on his sweatshirt.
I think you're right.
Well, who's the RJ? Who's the soccer coach that sticks his hand down his pants and smells his hand
in his bottom?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it the French soccer coach?
He must be taking the temperature of the game, whatever he's doing, but then he smells his fingers afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he doesn't just bring it up. He takes a long route. and brushes through his hair and then kind of wipes across the nose to see. But that's really bad.
I believe it's the German coach. If I'm remembering correctly, I think his name is Jurgi Love or Jurgi Low or something like that. Yes, he exists.
He's like the sommelier of swass is what he is. It's like he's like breaking it down.
It's awful.
It's a nutty smell today.
Yeah. Oh, it's so horrible. I mean, as if he doesn't realize. I mean, it's soccer. These people are so fanatical that there's probably an isolated camera on him the entire game.
Especially now knowing that he does it.
Right. Well, so you do it once, but that's his thing.
Yes, it's his thing.
If they sent home a video from school showing your children putting their hands in their bottom and then finding their way to their nose to smell what it was like, you'd be repulsed. This is a grown man with hundreds of millions of people watching him.
Yeah, I don't get it. I made the mistake the other day. Cassie's like, hey, check if Rocco did a poop in his diaper. And I was like,
you put your hand right in?
Right into the back of it. I didn't realize it was up his back.
This is your third child.
Yeah, but I didn't in the moment realize it was, I didn't think he had gone. And then I stuck my hand in the back of the diaper and it was all just right into it. Ugh.
Imagine the German coach ever gets that.
Oh my, like, it would be heaven. It would be heaven.
A full blowout.
He'd be finger painting on his face.
he didn't start at the game with a mustache.
He'd be like, jackpot.
hang on a minute. He didn't have a mustache when the game started. RJ, book him. Get the German coach on, would you?
I got questions. I got lots of questions.
Do we have his number? Can we call him live on the air and leave a voicemail? All right. Here is, Belichick doesn't seem so bad. Here is Bill Belichick last night on the win.
Just got to give the players a lot of credit for just being tough, being disciplined, being resilient, and dealing with a really good football team and conditions that were somewhat challenging. Good to get the win. Time to move on.
You can hear the emotion in his voice.
But you have to win, though. See, that's the thing. That's, you have to have the winning to go along with it. For everyone to buy into doing something like that, like quarterback buy-in, wide receivers buy-in. Like, hey, coach, what's the game plan? Are you guys going to just block the entire game?
And how many times am I going to throw? Three.
Three? How many times are you going to target me? We're not. You're not going to get any targets.
That's right. Go into the game. You will not be involved in the passing game whatsoever. Okay.
Yeah, just run sprints and then block.
But you know what? You can't argue with him.
No, that's it, though, because there's winning. Because, I mean, you have – because they have – dude, they're 7-1 in the AFC. They're 7-1 in the conference.
They are. So what are they, 9-4 now?
They're 9-4. They're 6-0 on the road and 7-1 in the conference.
Now, think about this 9-4, too,
right? Hold on. Their point differential is plus 150.
What are the Jets?
Minus 150.
There's a three. So you have to laugh. But think, so they're 9-4. The stop with the boops. The opening game, they were at like the 8-yard line and fumbled it away, right? Damian Harris, was that who fumbled that ball away?
What, fumbled the toss?
No.
And then picked it up?
In the opening game against the
Dolphins. Oh, yeah, in the opening game. No, not last night, yeah.
So they should have won that game. They lost to the Cowboys in overtime. They very easily could have won that game. And they lost to the Buccaneers when they missed a long field goal. They very easily could have won that game. They realistically could be sitting here at 11-1 right now. 12-1, actually.
Yeah, and what's crazy, too, is, I mean, didn't they get off to, they were 0-4 at home to start the season, right?
Yes, they sure were.
So they're 3-4 now at home, and they're 6-0 on the road.
It's amazing. He is amazing. I thought this was kind of, really just a kind of gross, to be honest with you. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, after the game, they were asked if it's an embarrassing loss last night. Listen to the way this went down.
Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of
question? What are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you.
All right. I think we gave up 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. Well, we'll remember that. I'll remember that.
This loss, it sucks. It's a good football team that we lost to today, and you know we'll figure out a way to bounce back. Thanks.
This goes in this respect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that.
Well, that's so right. What a stupid! Is it an embarrassing loss? You were 5 yards away from winning, and this is the best team in the AFC, coached by Bill Belichick. Is it an embarrassing loss? I'll tell you what, that's an embarrassing question.
Well, no, it's an embarrassing question, but the way that you react that way because they are embarrassed a little bit.
It is a little embarrassing.
Well, no, listen, here's the thing, though. Fans in media, and he was trying to get them to do exactly what happened. Like, that's a question because you want to have a reaction to it.
Yeah. I mean, ask a legitimate question.
Dude, I've told you the story before. I was asked, like, they would always, like, I would barely be, like, my top stuff, like, my chest protector and jersey would be off, then the scrums would start. And that's when, like, the emotion is at its rawest. That's why they're doing the interviews. And they would try to lead you in a direction where you would have an emotional reaction to a question. And at one point, I didn't even realize I was being filmed on camera. Same kind of question like that. And I was like, I lost it. And I'm like, are you trying to be an a-hole? I didn't say a-hole. I actually used the whole word.
Was it live?
It was, and I didn't realize it was being filmed.
Uh-huh.
So I walked into the wives' room afterwards, and my wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, why would you swear on camera? I was like, I was on camera? And she was mad, but I was like, I couldn't control it. Like, in that moment, like, there's so much going on after a game like that because you have yourself so amped up. I can't even, like, in that moment, like, how big that game was. And you said it to start the show. I mean, those are two defensive players, and you knew what was going on. You knew they were going to run the football.
And you could do nothing.
And you couldn't stop it. And you said they ripped, they stole their manhood. Like, you said that. That's your words. So there's probably a little piece of them. Maybe it's not embarrassed, but it's like, I mean, come on. Like, in a moment, we're at home, and they just did that to us?
I'm sure they feel a way about it, but to use the phrase, is that an embarrassing loss? That is not an embarrassing loss.
Well, I don't know if they meant the... listen, it's a bad question, but you know why he asked the question. And I'm not trying to defend the question, but it wasn't... I don't think he necessarily meant the loss. It was more a shot at the defense. Like, are you embarrassed that you just lost the game where the quarterback threw it three times and they threw once through three quarters?
Then ask that. Then say that. The fact that they didn't throw the ball, is it embarrassing the fact you couldn't stop their running game? That's more legitimate than, is that an embarrassing loss, which is a
clown
question.
He wanted to be a jackass and ask the question because he wanted to get a response.
Put him in observations, RJ, for Thursday. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. And DPHR Rothenberg, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. All right, it's your moment to shine. Are you ready?
Oh, the in-content read?
We've now walked you right up to the in-content read. I know you have three reads today. This is one of them. Have at it.
All right, David, make sure you sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and use code KJM to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It was very well done. I can't stand in the way of being honest, and it was, you know, my honesty always bleeds through. That was a very, very well done read. I think I set you up nicely as well. All right,
no,
800.
Fantastic setup. I will say this, though. I mean, you can hate that question, and I don't like the question either.
It's awful.
But if you're that team and you're Sean McDermott, like that right there, that exchange, you're using that. I mean, that's because it's Patriots, what, bye, then they got Indy, and then they got the Bills again.
Yeah.
Up in Foxborough.
And you see who the Bills have this week? I'm sure you do. Your father-in-law's with you.
Oh, yeah.
The Bills are in one right now, dude.
The Bills are in one right now. They're 7-5 right now. Going up, we're going to play Tampa next week.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What is this? I mean, really,
it's a good song.
I'll stop. It sounds like he wrote it yesterday. What is this?
What do you mean, what is this?
What is this?
This is Jimmy Allen.
This is terrible.
Just featured on Dancing with the Stars.
It's terrible. Really.
You'll be embarrassed for writing this. You'll like it by next week.
I don't see that. And not only am I annoyed at whoever Jimmy Allen, but I'm annoyed at Santiago for playing this. And you know what they're doing? They're catering to you. Rick, how could we... Listen, we feel like... I know what's happening back there. You got Geppetto, who is saying, guys, Rick is losing energy. How do we keep him engaged? And Santiago's like, I know what I can do. I can play an awful song that Rick happens to like.
Or you're just paranoid and looking for reasons to be the victim.
No.
Like usual. No,
how could you not like that song?
It's terrible.
It's a terrific song.
RJ, is that a good song?
I don't mind that song.
See, thank you.
Here we go.
You're one step away from Tinfoil Hat Man. This is you right now.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere.
I know you're here. That's a terrible. It's a terrible song.
Dave Rothenberg's going to have YouTube videos up very soon. Conspiracy theories.
By the way, listen. You guys, I understand. I'm a man on an island.
But you see what he did there, right? Like, he heard me ask you for the song, and that was the only time in how many months did he actually let a song breathe so he could hear it, so he could rip it?
Well, because I couldn't believe how bad it was. Like, when it was playing, I was like, this is really bad. I was like, it's going to get better. No, it got worse.
I couldn't believe how bad it was.
I couldn't believe. Honestly, Jimmy Allen should be embarrassed right now for putting that out there.
Wow.
Get Jimmy Allen on the phone, please.
So we got Jimmy Allen and Jurgi Love of the German soccer.
Jurgi first. Do we know that it's Love? It could be Low.
It could be Lerv.
Jurgen Lerv. Mr. Lerv, hello. DPHR and Rothenberg.
You know who would know is Andrew. Let me get him on the phone.
Get Andrew on the phone. Call Gunlink.
Why do you put your hands in your pants and then bring them up to your nose, Mr. Lerv?
All right, thank you for your time.
Thanks for your time.
All right, we got to go. You want me to break down NYCFC there in the MLS Cup? No, thank you.
Don't scream at me on
the
show.
Don't defend them. Absolutely not. Yeah, book Gunling, then get Lerv, and then Jimmy Allen in that order. Would be great.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing.
By the way, Jimmy Allen right now, that song 16th on the country top.
Thank you. Thank
top 40 chart.
So what does that mean?
It's a popular song right now.
It's a popular song. People like
it.
So
is that what we're going to do? When things are popular, now we're going to just bow to them at the altar?
I may play it at the next break.
Yes, good. That
is what every time.
That's what we'll do.
Every time we come back from break, play that garbage song so we can just sniff it and whiff it in. It's terrible.
Dave, can I ask?
Yeah.
What did the dogs do this morning? Because it sounds like you're having one of those days.
No.
Did you see him start sniffing in the camera? He put his head up.
I don't like when you laugh like this because I have trouble keeping my composure. All right. Stop. Get. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. If you're not worried... Or no, wait, hang on. It says, if you worried about your seasonal hirings, and I say it like that because I brought it to everyone's attention last week, and it fell on deaf ears.
No, that's how it's written. That's how Indeed wants it
written.
If
you worried?
What do you want from me? Call Indeed. I'll call that too. Let me call Indeed. I'm
yeah. Go. Indeed, Gunling, Lerv, Jimmy Allen. All right. If you're worried about your seasonal hiring needs, then you need Indeed. Indeed is the smart hiring platform that delivers four times more hires than all other sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Post a job and hire ASAP. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I try to find any way to not discuss the Knicks. That loss on Saturday was just grotesque. It really was. There's no defending it. There is no defending the Knicks anymore. I had to have Julius Randle come out the other day and say, we're one hot streak away from leading the Eastern Conference. You're not a playoff team right now. Forget about a playoff team. You're not a team that's involved in the play-in tournament right now, Rick.
No. I mean, that's the first time under 500, right? They've lost three in a row. I mean, that game yesterday, especially, not yesterday. Feels like yesterday.
Gotcha.
Again, the third quarter, it's just, and we've talked about this over the last couple weeks. I mean, the beauty of that Knicks team last year was 48 minutes. They were going to give you everything that they had, every single ounce of energy that they had, great defense, and we loved it. As Knicks fans, you loved it. Because what we're seeing now is what we've seen in the past. Now that this team is better than we've seen in the past, Like, I'm not ready to just be done with this team, but they haven't been able to put together a full 48 minutes almost all season long. I mean, that game against Denver was, it ends up being the third quarter where they go on that, you know, 23-8 run. I mean, you finally cut it to six and they go on a 23-8 run. I mean, Jokic is, I mean, he just dominates Mitchell Robinson.
Oh.
And then I got Zeke Nagy going off for his career high.
But it wasn't even competitive.
No.
Like, I don't think Jokic played in the fourth quarter of the game
on
Saturday.
No, no. It was calamitous in the third quarter.
Oh, that's a good word.
I mean, you had RJ Barrett running into Julius Randle trying to get a rebound. That ball goes out of bounds. I mean, it was a mess. It was gross.
You do realize they're half a game in 11th. Like, they're a loss away tonight from being in 12th place tomorrow morning.
Well, and then, you got Tibbs taking shots at RJ Barrett or insinuating that he's not putting in as much work as he did last year. Because, yeah, I mean, he can't. I mean, he's in a shooting slump.
Doesn't look good to me.
No, it doesn't look good at all. So, yeah, I mean, they got real issues. They do, because they're not, I mean, they're not a very good offensive team, and their calling card last year was great defense, and they're not, at the moment, they're not a good defensive team.
No.
So get elite.
And I get a lot of, listen, they were 9-13 last year, so you just need to hold your horses. Maybe you're right. And again, I'm not saying that it's over, but is it, you're 11-12. Is it too early to be very concerned?
No, you should be very concerned, because do they have the personnel to play the kind of defense that they played last year? I don't know. I don't think Evan Fournier is capable of playing great defense. I don't.
So they
Mitchell
bring in
Robinson
Kemba Walker,
can't stay healthy.
He's now not going to play, right? He's now out of the rotation.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Apparently that he could be now back involved to some degree with actually being back in the rotation. I mean, this team's got issues. I mean, you need to, in order for you to take that next step.
I need my now, better players to play better, too.
Well, yeah, exactly right. Like, Julius Randle's not the same player. I mean, he's been good, but he hasn't been at the level he was last year. Right? Like, RJ Barrett's struggling currently to shoot the basketball. He needed to take that next step.
This is year three.
If the team was going to take that next step. I mean, the guys that you brought in that were supposed to kind of get you over the hump offensively, one, you can't play. He's out of the rotation. And the other one is, he's a liability defensively, for sure.
He's not certainly not worth $18 million a year.
So, I mean, you got a bunch of different problems. I mean, there's been some positives. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's Toppin looks so much better than he looked last. He looked unplayable last year.
I agree, but
so
why am I not seeing more of him? Why is it Obi Toppin for 18 minutes a game? I can't see 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Well,
of Obi
because
Toppin.
He plays the same position as Julius Randle. It's, I mean, they have to make the decision whether or not they want to go small. And they seem hesitant to do that.
I guess. But it's not like you can't defend Jokic anyway. And Mitchell Robinson's
no.
a liability. He can't put the ball in the basket. He's got zero offensive game.
Well, but that's the thing, though, too, right? Like, if you're not – like, it goes back to the conversations we were kind of having earlier about Kemba and Fournier. Like, if you were going to take a step back defensively, you would have to take a step, you know, forward offensively.
A big step forward.
You didn't. So it's the same kind of thing, though, right? Like, your offense is not good. Like, if you play great defense and get stops, and all of a sudden now we get out on the run, transition, you get some easy buckets, okay, we can work with that. But their half-court offense stinks.
It stinks.
And then, I mean, when you're struggling to score points and Mitchell Robinson's not playing great defense, what does he do for you offensively?
He's a liability.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
There are country music songs that I appreciate. That one was just terrible.
I like that song. So I wanted to play it, see if you liked it. You don't like it, so we'll take it out of the rotation.
No, I don't like it. I don't. I like
it. I wish I could go back to those days when the town was the whole world and love was the girl next door. Soundtrack with the song in the dark.
It's so bad it's concerning that you like that.
Wouldn't you like to go back to those days?
Yeah, of course. Like Glory Days from Bruce Springsteen. That's a more appropriate song.
Oh, let's play that. That'll get me going. Let's play some of that, too.
I don't know if you're mocking or not.
No, I'm not mocking. Why don't you give Santiago some of the songs that you like?
He's got too much on his plate.
No, he doesn't.
He has a Knicks game tonight, a Rangers. He knows what I like. They placate to you. You're the star of the show.
No, I don't play. No, I asked them. All
you were the number one
ask.
Pick of the draft. You're the one the K-Show wants. You're the best guest on the station. I'm just here to serve you.
Well, just know how much we love and appreciate you.
Oh, that's very nice. Speaking of little country, you familiar with Keith Urban?
Keith Urban, yes. Husband to one Nicole Kidman.
Yes. Keith the Herb Urban is headed to the PNC Bank Arts Center on July 29th and the UBS Arena on October 22nd. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score a pair of tickets to the venue of your choice. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning, at Ticketmaster.com. DPH or Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, Mike Tenenbaum, 7:35 this morning. So that is very, very exciting. I thought that Kemba Walker was very mature, very composed, and I was impressed with him yesterday. You heard what he had to say, right?
I did. Yeah, I mean, he's a good guy. He really is.
A great guy.
And I'm sure he's a great team leader. He's just not, I mean, unfortunately for him, his body's letting him down. His knee's a mess, and he just can't play. I mean, he can't keep anyone in front of him. I mean, he takes charges, great, but I mean, outside of that, I mean, he's not good defensively.
No, physically, he's just not capable. It's a shame. What's upsetting to me is when there are once great players who just they can't do it anymore, and their body fails them, and their mind knows what to do, and they just can't.
Yeah, but that's what makes someone like Tom Brady so amazing, though, man. I mean, that's what you strive for, is to get to a point where the game slows down. You've kind of seen everything, and you can still physically do it. Like, I think LeBron's probably at that point. I mean, he's starting to break down a little bit. But
yeah, but LeBron feels like he's not at physically the same anymore.
Oh, he's starting to break down a little bit. You know what I mean? He's trying to – I'm sure he's trying to pace himself, you know, getting to playoffs because he's trying to win another championship. But, I mean, Tom Brady at 44 years old, there's nothing you could throw at him that he hasn't already seen. And physically, he's still able. Like,
it's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. He's 44.
No, it's, dude, I'm telling you right now, you know, I haven't lived through all the injuries and everything else. It's not, like, how you described it is actually how it feels in the moment when you're doing it. Because your mind knows exactly what you should be doing, and it's telling your body to go do something, and your body's like, no, we're not doing that. We can't do that.
We can't do that anymore.
No, seriously, it is. And it's like,
I know.
And then at a certain point, you have to realize, like, that's like for an athlete, that's the toughest thing to do is, like, be honest with yourself and have that conversation. Because the people around you will never tell you that. Like, they won't.
They need someone honest like me.
Well, honest, or you get benched, or you just, like, the production's not there, and, like, you just come to the conclusion, like, I'm putting all this work. It takes me, you know, I'm sure Kemba with his knee, with the therapy, trying to get himself ready, stay loose and everything else. It becomes, it's like a job. I mean, it sounds crazy to say something like that because, like, when you're young and you feel good and you're healthy, I mean, showing up to the rink, to the field, to the court, it's like you can't wait. Like, get in the car, you're in the locker room hanging with the guys, you just put your stuff on, you go out and play, everything is great, you're playing at a high level. And then as you get older and you start, you know, injuries start mounting, it's like, I'm at the rink, you know, 4 hours early, it's, you know, I got to get all this therapy, I got to get warmed up, and then I got to get out there, and then that 4 hours wasn't worth it because I stink. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, there's no payoff. Like, yep, I'm going through all this and I'm not good. And that's when you realize, like, no, I can't do this anymore.
Let's hear from Kemba Walker. I will always, always put the team first in this situation.
Never in my life, never in my career, off the court or on the court, it has ever just been about me. It's about the team, like I said, you know, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here for my teammates. Like I said, help these guys as much as possible. I could be pissed, I could be upset, but at the end of the day, there are some young guys here, you know, who look up to me. Pretty sure they wanted to see how I reacted to the situation. And, you know, anybody on my team down the line can be in the same situation. And, you know, maybe I could be a role model in that aspect, you know.
Wow. You talk about handling things with grace and class. He was also asked how tough this has been for him.
Like I said, it was tough for me. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's just not about me. You know, I'm a team guy first. I've always been. Ask anybody who I've ever played with, always been a team guy first. So love being around my teammates, and I'm going to cheer them on until I can't anymore. You know, that's what it's about.
Wow, how easy is he to root for, huh?
Dave, I'm telling you right now, those two sound bites right there, that makes every penny, and I know he's not playing right now, every penny you spent on Kemba Walker worth it. That, I mean, that how he's reacted to being taken out of the rotation, and you see him on the bench cheering on his teammates, being, you know, being a role model, being supportive of his young teammates, is a coach's dream to have someone like that.
Yeah.
Someone that's had that's that kind of success at this level to be taken, not just benched. It wasn't like, okay, you're not going to start anymore. You're going to come off the bench.
Well,
he's
out of the rotation. That's right.
Out of the rotation. And him to have a positive attitude and still try to... And that's really, I mean, what you just heard from Kemba Walker is the definition of being a true leader. Because everyone can be a leader when things are great, when you're winning and you're playing well. Yeah, it's always, you know, I'm always in a good mood. I'm always uplifting. It's when adversity hits and you see the true character of a person when you realize whether or not they're equipped to be a leader. And that guy right there, to handle it the way he's handled it, especially now because he's on, I mean, this is close to the end for him, man. And I'm sure it was a dream come true to get a chance to play for the Knicks.
Of course, and to play home.
So this must have ripped his heart out. And for him to react the way that he's reacted in such a positive way,
good on him.
That's money well spent.
Good year, making the plays that move you forward. Good year, more driven. CMT, in just a moment, but let's go to Kasim in Harlem. Kasim, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, big fan.
Thank you, Kasim.
No problem, man. I think it's time to maybe the Knicks should package Randall and Robinson, maybe get somebody in the center position and free up some space for guys like Jericho Sims and Obi Toppin who actually can fly and dominate in the paint.
Yeah, I don't know if Obi Toppin's ready to dominate in the paint yet. No. I mean, Julius Randle's still a good player. He's still a really good player, but I think we all realize that on a team, especially when the East is loaded the way it's loaded, I mean, that's going to be a team that can compete and win a first-round playoff series. Julius Randle probably isn't your number one or shouldn't be your number one option.
Well, think about this now. If you look at the best teams in the Eastern Conference, would Julius Randle be the best player on any of those teams?
No.
Brooklyn, no. Chicago, no. Milwaukee, no. Miami, no. Boston, no. Philadelphia, no. Atlanta, no. Right?
No, you're right. But we've been saying this since last year. I mean, that was why you brought Kemba in, was to take some of the pressure off. That's why Kemba and Fournier were brought in, to take some of the pressure off Julius. And well, we all expected. But Dave, it goes back to the other point that we were making. And this is, I mean, we said this before the season started. If this team was going to take that next step, even with the moves that they made, the most important guy on the team was going to be R.J. Barrett. Ascending, like taking that next step to
be. He needs to.
Like, if he's not, like, I don't know if he'll ever be a one, but he needed to be a 2B to Julius Randle consistently.
I'm disappointed. I'm definitely disappointed in what he is in year three. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, and he gave you that spurt, too, that spurt of games.
He had that game where
he's
35.
He's got it.
Yeah, and it was early in the season, too.
Yeah, like him, Mitchell Robinson. Like, those guys needed to take that next step. And, yeah, I mean, the center position's been a mess.
Mitchell Robinson, I'm sorry, he's completely overrated.
I don't disagree with him. I would like to see more Jericho Sims, though.
I would, too. But Mitchell, I'm sorry. He's either hurt or you watch him and you're wanting more. He's not the player I think many people think that he would be or in fact, is.
No, you fell in love with his athletic abilities, what you fell in love with.
And
like, he's one of those players, like, you're the cliche, good enough to get you fired. Where it's like you keep hoping because you see like he's got all the tools, but he's just not putting it all together.
It's hard to envision. It's really hard to envision. All right. I don't want to be yelled at for not giving RJ enough time. So the floor is yours with CMT.
To cuddle.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Who yells at you? Nobody yells at you.
Oh, I'm murdering. I was told, but you're murdering the clock. Was that said or no?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you exactly do, Geppetto. Go ahead.
All right, Cuddle Mary Trash brought to you by Jack Pocket. So you guys spent some time on it earlier. Patriots beat the Bills, Monday Night Football, wind, snow, the whole deal. The Manning brothers on the Manning cast had some strong insight into the play of Mac Jones, I thought.
That was an interesting one. I've never quite seen a football game like that, Pate, but it was fun calling it with you.
Yeah, I thought Mac's handoffs were great, right? He looked a man, he seated the ball, he got the snaps very well from the center, he carried out his fakes. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. I mean,
textbook. Yeah.
Mac Jones, 2 of 3 for 19 yards.
Should have been 1 of 3. That was quite the catch from Jonnu Smith.
It really was. Patriots run for 222 yards. So, this is a point of contention on this show, and I'm curious where you're at, and I want you to color Mary Trash, not Rookie of the Year, because they played, some of these guys played different sides of the ball. Which rookie you've been most impressed with this year? Mac Jones, Ja'Marr Chase, and I bet you can guess the last one.
Micah Parsons.
That's right.
Baby
That's
LT.
That's Lawrence Taylor. That's Lawrence Taylor.
I'm not. You know what? I'm not falling for your games anymore. I'm not stooping. He's a fine player. He's a nice player. The defense still stinks.
Okay.
In Dallas.
All right. But work within the framework of the question. I think it's a fair question.
Very fair question. All right. I'll go first. Repeat. It's most impressed with.
Yeah, you personally. Who are you most impressed with?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to marry one Mac Jones.
Oh, you're so transparent. It's
disgusting. What do you mean I'm transparent?
You're so transparent.
You don't know what I'm doing, so allow me to do it, please. Mac Jones, to come into this league and have a winning streak like this at the quarterback position, whether he was integral or not last night, he has been very good all year. Marry Mac Jones. I will cuddle Micah Parsons.
How about that one? Yeah!
I will not say that. I will not even think that. I will cuddle Micah Parsons. And I think he's terrific. But the second half has not been as great as the first. And he really cost his team the other day. I will gently open the can and softly place Ja'Marr Chase in.
Yeah, I don't think there's a different answer than what I'm going to give. This is the right answer. I'm going to marry Micah Parsons.
No.
The guy's going to be in the conversation to win best defensive player in the league. Not just rookie,
That's Lawrence
league.
Lawrence Taylor! That's
I will,
Lawrence
it's the wrong,
Taylor!
It's the wrong answer. It's fine.
No, it's the right answer. For the same reasons Mac Jones, I mean, the fact that he's been able to step in and do what he's done, and he looks so comfortable doing it, I'm going to cuddle him. And I would love Ja'Marr Chase on my team, but I am going to gently discard him in the garbage.
You don't even disagree with me all that much.
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, that's the marry and the cuddle of the two. No, I mean, you weren't going to marry or cuddle Ja'Marr Chase with those two.
Certainly not.
All right. Robert Saleh was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday, and he was asked about the Jalen Hurts, did you prepare for Gardner Minshew situation.
Yes, there's players that we got to have focal points on where we'll manipulate coverages to make sure we're eliminating some guys. But at the same time, you're game planning for a scheme and a play caller. And the difference between Jalen Hurts and Minshew was Jalen Hurts would be QB run game and Minshew would be RPOs, both of which we prepared for.
Stop the show. Stop the show. Stop the show.
Turn the music
off. Stop the presses.
Get Lerv
right now.
On the phone. Get Lerv.
No, I don't want Lerv. Hold on. Let me see how I'm feeling. Let me stick my hands in my pants here. No, I have.
Did you take it? Hang on. Did you follow through? Did you take a whiff?
Now, you guys got to tell me what I should do with this. This is. I probably should tease it for the 7 o'clock hour. This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of the show.
Hang on a second.
And it could fracture the show. I'm not sure.
What I don't even know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly right. That's why we should tease it.
You can't burst it out here. This has to be the lead of the 7 o'clock hour.
This could be the best thing. I've been doing this for how long? Is this, 7 years or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in this business in the 7
you're
or 8
really
years
going to sit
this.
Here in front of God and everybody?
So all the boys.
You have a greatest moment in your radio career to launch at 7 o'clock?
It just happened. It legitimately just happened.
Will I be pleased with this?
Maybe not.
You got
there's the potential
something.
That
I know what it is. I don't know
this show
specifics.
Could be broken up.
Potential. You got like a text from someone. Something has happened here that's going to make me feel away.
I can't say anything. I cannot say anything.
All right. 7 o'clock. Get back to it.
Wow.
All right, the music.
I actually don't know what's happening.
I think I'm done. I think I may be done for the show. Maybe forever.
Man.
I guess stay tuned to 7.
So you're convinced that I will be very, very upset or mildly upset?
I'm
or pleased for you.
That there's a chance that it doesn't get much better than this for me.
All right.
Well, anyways. Where were we? Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh.
So, this feels very Yankee-esque in terms of assigning blame, but that's what I want you to do. Cuddle Mary Trash, Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, and the players in terms of who you think has done the best job this year.
So you're marrying the best job?
Yes.
Okay. Rick?
I'm marrying the best job?
You're marrying
That's
the best
right.
job.
Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be a loveless marriage.
Yeah, this is not a great marriage. I guess I'm going to... I mean, can you marry? Can you trash all of them? All right, I'll say this. And here's my reasoning. Here's my reasoning. Because the defense was an embarrassment. I'm going to marry Joe Douglas. And for one reason and one reason only. The trade he made with Seattle for Jamal Adams. Looks like a terrific, terrific trade.
It really does.
I'll cuddle the players for having to deal with this mess. And then, at the moment, I think I'm going to have to, especially after the whole, you know, we didn't prepare for Gardner Minshew debacle. And I don't care what they say. I mean, why would you bring it up? If you were prepared, you wouldn't have made a big deal out of it. I'm gonna trash the coach.
All right, I can't spend a lot of time on this because it's such a repulsive question. I'll just agree across the board. But I will say this. My one piece of information is this. Robert Saleh is a defensive coach. Their defense is literally the worst maybe you've ever seen in your life. I mean, they make quarterbacks that are probably subpar look like Joe Montana. So I will say I will trash Robert Saleh. And not only will I trash him, I know it's early. I have legitimate concerns about
Relax. Relax,
you know what?
Please.
You take your hot takes. I take mine. RJ, you love Saleh. You are a Niners fan through and through. Am I crazy with my I am worried about Saleh right now take?
No, so am I.
Yeah.
He brought me a lot of happiness personally as a fan of the Niners, but this job, independent, I'm hopeful, but yeah, you have a right to be concerned.
Very concerned.
Your Niners are dead to me, too, losing to Seattle. Embarrassing.
I hate Seattle.
Go Seahawks. Go. I need them to have a better record than the Bears and the Giants is what I need.
I hate them.
Go with Seahawks.
They've ruined my life even when they're not good. And finally, the Michael K Show, who the aforementioned we just spoke of, have taken turns taking shots at the both of you in recent weeks for different reasons. So naturally, while emotions are high, what do we do? As Rick said, as the reporters do, when athletes are ready to say anything, I ask you now to cuddle one of them, marry one of them, and throw one of the triumvirate of Michael, Don, and Peter in the trash.
All right, so I know what you're doing. It's transparent what you're doing. Because I'm sure you're like, Santi, make sure you clip this. We'll send it to them. We'll start a battle between the shows. That's what you're doing. And also, it's pathetic. Because you know what he's going to do. I can answer for Rick right now. Rick's going to marry Michael.
I'll scream over you, too.
Trash Peter. That's what he's going to do.
But you don't know
Henry,
me.
But
you
know purple birds.
I would bet anything on God's green earth that you're going to marry Michael. And don't tell me otherwise.
No, that's definitely happening.
Yeah,
you know
definitely
the date.
Happening.
It is March 8th. No, it's not. It's May 8th.
He's very talented. All right, I'll play your game. But I know this is what Geppetto's going to clip this. Get this over to them immediately. Stat. He's going to send the email. Do you know the little red exclamation point emails, Rick? Are you familiar with that yet? Where it's urgent?
Oh, yeah. I know that. I've seen that.
That's going to be sent to Andrew. Listen to what the guys said. We're being forced into this. So I'll play your game. I'm going to marry Donald. I'm going to cuddle Michael.
Sniff him.
And I like Peter a lot. But I've known the other guys for longer. I like them a lot. And I like Peter. But I will trash him.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
All right, this is easy for me. I'm going to marry him.
Fit in the
prenup.
Slap.
I'm going to get him pregnant.
Slap?
Michael K is my guy. I am going to cuddle that hairy little nugget, Peter Rosenberg.
Wow, because Don doesn't like you now. That's why, right?
And now
so
dead
in the
to
Washington
me.
Washington game, you think that Young is going to chase?
Officially is dead to me. You'll see him at a mall, probably Westfield Garden State Plaza somewhere, you know, posing as Santa Claus, taking pictures with kids. I am Baju Jiju trashing Don LaGreca. Right in the garbage.
I can't believe you trashed Don. People love Don.
Yeah, but he surprised you, though.
You thought you knew. You know what he did, though. I called him out, and then he had no choice but to change
it up. You thought you knew Peter would be last. That wasn't the case.
No, he changed it up solely
because
I called him out on it.
But
it doesn't matter what I did. There's no way he could not take
it. Now, I'm at the point with Don where I may actually schedule my own softball game, the Bob Sasso game, on the same day.
You knew Bob Sasso?
Yes.
Oh, my. I'll tell you what. If you schedule your own softball game at the same time in a different location, you would be my hero.
That's aggressive.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.